We've got a transition here, and I'm mindful, too, that we have communion today. So we got a full service here. So, everyone, there's a scripture, if you turn to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. It's only two verses, but they're powerful verses. They're kind of the climax to the Sermon on the Mount. Steve presented well last week about the context of Scripture. I want to talk a little bit about that today. And we're so thankful that for this Scripture here that comes right after, as Steve spoke last week, about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's amazing how Jesus puts these verses in here in the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'd like to bring those slides up now, that slide. And again, it's very short, but if you're able to stand, if you could stand now, and I'd like to read these two verses to you. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's so brief, let's read it together, everyone. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Please be seated. In this parable, everyone, Jesus spoke of a narrow gate and a wide gate. Jesus commanded his hearers to enter or experience entrance into justification from God through the narrow gate. And narrow here means, in the original Greek, in the context of that word here in the original Greek, means entrance solely through one restricted way. As I said earlier, the whole Sermon on the Mount climaxes here in Matthew 7, 13 to 17. We see on that slide there, we see you enter. It's almost like a command. Enter through the narrow gate. So we have a narrow gate. We have a broad gate. We have a broad way. And we have a narrow way. We have life that leads to destruction. And life and a pathway that leads to eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Picture yourself standing at a crossroads. And notice here there's only two ways. There's no middle ground. So you can't straddle the pathways. Well, maybe you tried. Part of your testimony is maybe you had one foot in the world and one foot on the path of the Savior. Were you ever there? It's pretty uncomfortable, isn't it? You can't stay there long. And so, everybody, picture yourself at a crossroads. You can't have a foot in each pathway. We make decisions each and every day. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, you know, what we're going to do on the weekend and all of this stuff. But there's no singular decision that we can ever make than the decision that these verses call us to make. And that is, where do you want to spend eternity? Because we're going to spend it somewhere. Steve shared last Sunday, putting Scripture in the context of what's happening. And it's been puzzling, Steve, for me this week to think, why did Jesus put these words right here following the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then he goes right into verse 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. And all I can think of is that, and I've been praying about this, is that as God is concerned about the way we relate to one another and respect each other, he's also really concerned about how we relate to him and how we respond to him. And so he shares these two verses here. And I think that we have lots of food for thought. In the context of Scripture, this isn't really unusual, because we can see all through the Old Testament, people are asked to make a choice. You make a choice between life or death, between following the Lord or following your own way. You can follow Christ or you can follow self. Way back in Deuteronomy, Moses challenged the Israelites. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Therefore, in Deuteronomy 30, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days. In Joshua, in that famous passage, choose whom this day you will serve. Again, in the context of Scripture, we're asked to make a choice. Choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua said, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. Right on. Jeremiah says, the prophet Jeremiah, I have set before you the way to life and the way to death. So all through Scripture, in the context of making a decision, we have Elijah in 1 Kings. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is good, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. And Jesus, coming into the New Testament, Jesus in that great passage in John 14, lots of people don't like it because it's exclusive. You know what those words are? John 14, verse 6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've been at funerals, and I was aghast, where they left the out. I am way, I am truth, I am life. Yeah. No, that's not what the word says. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the next part? No one comes to the Father except through me. And you can think, wow, that might leave some people out. But we go back earlier in chapter 7 of Matthew and we see these words. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So Christ here, Jesus, is saying we have a choice to make. And in the context of the whole of Scripture, Jesus is confronting the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews sitting, the thousands sitting there listening to him. You got to get off your hands, folks. You might want to sit there and think, yeah, I'm a good teacher. He speaks like one who has authority. And they might be amazed. And I know that you've had people likely say to you, as I have to me, well, Jesus, yeah, he was a good teacher. He was a kind man. He was a moral person. But Jesus is saying here, there is a broad way and a narrow way. You have to decide, I'm the Savior of the world. I am Lord, I'm Savior, I'm King. You have to decide, folks, I'm more than just a good man. Jesus' command here, enter by the narrow gate, does not deny the fact that salvation is by grace alone. It simply affirms the reality that those who choose God have been given grace to be saved. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, again, a verse we know well, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not from works, so that no one can boast. Even our faith, our ability to choose God, is a gift from Him. And so throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Christ taught about the character of those in His kingdom, as seen in those first Beatitudes back in chapter 5. They're poor in spirit, they mourn over their sin, they're meek, they submit to the Lord's leadership, they hunger for righteousness, and so on. But at the end of Christ's sermon, He challenges His hearers because many would be tempted to simply stand in amazement. But He says there are two rival gates with two different pathways leading to two rival kingdoms. One is the kingdom of this world, and the other is the kingdom of heaven. He challenges the scribes and Pharisees because they fall short. He challenges the Jews and He says, you can't earn your way to heaven. You know who the gate is here, eh? It's Jesus. The narrow gate is Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus. Jesus brings it home here. And you know, Jesus can. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven for several reasons. Jesus was chosen by God to be the Savior. Jesus is the only one to have come down from heaven and returned there. He's the only person to have lived a perfect human life. He's the only sacrifice for sin. He alone fulfilled the law and the prophets. He's the only man to have conquered death forever. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only man whom God has exalted to the highest place. And Jesus spoke of Himself as the only way to heaven. We're talking about serious stuff here today, folks. Choosing Jesus, if you haven't done that, really encourage you today before you leave here. There's a choice. There is a narrow path. There is a broad path. In Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I'm going to talk a little bit now about what it does it mean, the broad way and the narrow way. Can I do that? Okay. The wide pathway is the pathway that we're all born on. Isn't it funny? You don't have to teach kids to sin. You don't have to teach kids to say no. Did you ever notice that? Where does it come from? Well, we're all born on this broad pathway. That's where we all begin. And so the wide pathway leads to the broad gate. It's the road that we're all born on and begin on. Scripture says we're born spiritually dead and antagonistic to God. In order to be saved, we must repent and turn to God. Christ says that one must choose to enter the narrow gate. No decision needs to be made to enter the broad path. But we must choose to get off the path. And that's where Christ comes in. That's what each one of us did when we came to Christ. Remember that day? When you repented of your sin, you acknowledged your sin, your selfishness, your self-righteousness. Remember that day? And that glorious feeling of the fact that you belong to Christ. You chose to get off the broad way. The wide pathway is spacious and easy to follow. That's what makes it so deceptive. There's a lot of other people on the broad way. A lot of other people, sad to say. The preacher's outline and sermon Bible says it this way. The broad and easy way can be followed without thought. There's plenty of space to walk in. There is a big crowd following along. There's plenty of space for a person to wander about. It's difficult to wander off its path. And the broad way is the way of the worldly, the ungodly, the materialistic, and the carnal. Mind you, there's a lot of good people on that broad way. There are. We know some good people that are on that broad way. But they're not saved. The wide pathway is popular. The wide pathway leads to the broad gate. The wide pathway is spacious and easy to follow. The wide pathway is popular. Those that walk that road aren't considered strange. They're seldom persecuted. You can be your self-righteous self. You don't have to be taught to sin. I'm going to talk here about a little bit more about this. You know what I see is who is on that broad way today? There's many folks who have an agenda. And they want everyone on that broad way. There's many folks today who want to twist truth, who want to leave God out of our schools. There's people who want to twist God's view of human sexuality. The beautiful thing that he gave each of us as a gift to be men and to be women. And what have we done with that? We've twisted it. There are many kids today that don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. I know this is being telecast today. But I feel it would be remiss of me not to say that on that broad way, truth today is whatever you want to make it. It's relative. Sad to say, eh? Views on marriage, parenting, education, human sexuality. You know what really shocks me? I was working this week, you know, at UH. And the way that we have taken control when someone gets pregnant. And if you don't want that baby, and I'm really cautious here saying this because maybe some of you have gone through this awful dilemma. But there's kids being aborted today. People want to take life into their own hands and have made medical assistance in dying. They want to define. They want to be in charge. Doesn't seem to be any right or wrong. Aren't you glad you came this morning? You know, I don't want this to be a downer, but I want it to be realistic, folks. You know, more, and yeah. You know, give the praise to Jesus. More and more as Christians, folks, the truth is twisted. Popular opinion is what rules the day. And I'm saying this again, there are many wonderful people out there. But we know where there's true life and help and health. We know that when there's no right or wrong, God made this world based on spiritual principles. And when these are denied, we look around and we see the hopelessness in our world today. I was at a morgue viewing the other day of a I can't tell you much more than a young person who overdosed. And the mother was absolutely devastated. And you wonder if that person had heard of Jesus. Maybe they'd still be with us. We see the hurt, the pain, the depression, and even death, the suicides. You don't hear this in the media. So many folks are killing themselves. Why? Because they're on the broad way. They've been deceived. There is no hope. I've been a minister. I thank the elders for giving me this opportunity. I was originally going to speak next week, but then somebody grabbed that message before I could log in and get on it. So I'm speaking today, and I thought, you know, I was thinking this week, God, you've got a plan. Because I'll be ordained a minister 50 years on Tuesday. Yeah. I give the Lord praise and glory for that. But you know what saddens me? is I wish I would have preached on this passage before now. But I thank the Lord. Being on the, to join the narrow pathway, sometimes you have to make decisions. And one of the toughest decisions I ever made in my life was to leave a mainline denomination that I was a pastor in, because they had just taken off totally to the left and decided that maybe Jesus really wasn't Lord and Savior. And again, their whole approach to human sexuality. And it was a no-brainer. You know, so sad, because I left a whole group of people behind that I loved. Some of them understood, some of them don't understand. But that's the cost, isn't it? You know the cost as well for being a part of the narrow way. What is the narrow way all about? Oh my goodness, here. The narrow way is hard to find. It's a restricted way, it's limited. Because we come to Jesus. There's no other way. We come to Jesus. The narrow pathway is unpopular. You want to do something that's really unpopular today? Become a Christian. To be a Christian, you don't get good airtime. You got a target on your back. And maybe only some bad news stories get told about Christians. It's unpopular. You know, you want to be labeled a kook? Some people do that, or a holy roller, or whatever, you know? That's not us. We have to be careful with pride, but that's not us. The narrow pathway is hard to find. Because there are so many competing voices out there that the voice of Jesus is dulled in many people's minds. They're blinded by their sin, the ways of the world. Secondly, the narrow pathway is unpopular. Thirdly, you got to choose to get on the narrow pathway. People typically take the path of least resistance. We must turn away from the crowd, and I know some of you are suffering because you've lost friends and you have family that don't understand what it means that you've thrown in your all and you're living for Jesus. Sometimes it's a lonely pathway, but that pathway must be chosen. Alexander McLaren said that the side posts of the gate to the kingdom of God are the first two beatitudes. One side post is poverty of spirit, and one must come before God recognizing his spiritual bankruptcy and desperate need for God. He needs God in order to become righteous and acceptable to enter heaven. The second side post over here is mourning over our sin. Because this person is far from being right with God, he mourns his sin, she mourns her sin, and desperate situation. It's this reality that causes the person to cry out to God for salvation. Is that you? It causes us to choose to enter the kingdom of heaven. If Romans 10, 9, and 10 are two of my favorite verses. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and has salvation. To enter the narrow path, we must make a deliberate choice. We have to acknowledge that we're sinners. We have to bow before the cross of Christ. We have to confess our sin. We have to deal with self and our self-righteousness and pride. Jesus will look after the rest. The narrow path is marked with signposts. That's what I call this next part. That signpost is the Word of God. The Word of God. And I was thinking Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we have that narrow way, but we have the signposts. We have the signposts, the Word of God. Friends, God's Word is so important to keep us on that path. The narrow pathway requires believers to leave everything behind. You can't take anybody with you, and you can't take anything with you. You've got to give up the crowd. Sometimes you have to give up your friends, your family. That's not going to appeal to some folks. You have to give up sin. You have to give up self-righteousness. You have to give up the old person. It says there in Galatians 2, you have to, or in Ephesians 4, to put off the old person, put on the new. In Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. The narrow pathway is difficult. It's hard to stay on it. Even as we choose to live for Christ, we need to pray every day. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, because I sure hope you don't get the impression today, well, I've made my decision to follow Christ, and I guess I'm on the narrow pathway. Doesn't work that way, does it? We've got to continue to pursue sanctification. We've got to continue to ask God's Holy Spirit, Lord, is there sin in me? Am I letting the broad way? Have I been tempted? Lord, show me where. The narrow way is difficult. Christ calls for his disciples to help others to take the specks or splinters out of their eyes, but, you know, it's difficult because sometimes folks get angry with us for sharing the good news. It's not easy to repent of sin, self, pride. It's no long you have to give up the fact that you're not in control anymore. Nicodemus couldn't do it. However, the narrow pathway leads to life. The narrow pathway leads to life, the new life in Jesus Christ, eternity, and intimacy with God. And even in the midst of tough times in life, we know Jesus Christ will help us to keep our eyes on the cross and persevere and get home. Seven things I want to close with. Can I? First, what's this all say to us, these two verses? Good old application here. First off, as you take a look around your neighborhood, how many of you listen to the news? How many of you don't listen to the news? Amen, yeah. Yeah. There is an urgency like never before, friends, to get the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ out there. And it's hard to find ways to do that. Stuart and Mary have some great techniques there in terms of making disciples of who make disciples. We need to learn, all of us here, how to bring Christ into ordinary conversations. Just like we talk about the weather today. It's to talk about Jesus. There is an urgency like never before to take the good news of Jesus Christ into the world to those people that we know are on the broad path, just like we used to be at one point. And how we can live in such a way is to have a loving and a dynamic walk with Him as He directs. Secondly, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I feel Jesus is weeping over our world today. And it makes it all the more urgent, the answer to this question today. Where do you stand? Thirdly, if you're sitting on the fence today, I'm speaking to you now. It's not good enough to sit in your hands and admire that Jesus was a good teacher. It's not good enough. He's a Savior. He died for your sins on the cross. He died for my sins on the cross. That was so hard for me to understand. We must make a choice, friends, and I invite you today, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ, to bow before the Almighty today before you leave and ask to repent of your sins. Ask God for His forgiveness. Have a time to do business with the Lord today. Talk to the Lord. And in the words of Doug Garrett, take time to listen to the Lord. He wants you to come home. The other thing I'd like you to do, number four, is think of two or three people this morning in your family, in your circle of friends, in your neighborhood, who are on the Broadway. I think before you charge out after the service today and confront people with Christ, you really need to pray, because the old evil one is lurking around. Wants to discourage you. Write down the names of two or three people before you leave here today that you're going to start praying for, that you're going to build bridges with, that you're going to build a relationship with. Think back how you came to Christ. It's no different for anyone else. I wonder where we'd be today if Jesus left these verses out of the Sermon on the Mount. But Christ's call to follow the narrow path reminds us the importance of not only receiving the teaching of the Word and studying the Bible, but it also means to allow God's Word to transform our hearts. We aren't called to just understand the Word, but we're called to obey it. The other thing, the last thing is friends, more than ever, you need to come to church. You need to get involved in a prayer group. We need to get involved in life groups. We need each other today. And I want to encourage you. Today, to pray for one another. I want you to pray for those people sitting beside you and around you. I want you to pray every day that the Holy Spirit, that you will ask God's Holy Spirit to show you areas of your life in the light of the gospel where the world or sin has crept in. But we need each other, Lord. We need each other today, everyone. We need a church where the Word of God comes first. We need it. Our kids need it. The kids we prayed for today, Isaiah, Naomi, your kids, our grandchildren. the kids that are going to be born in this church are born to parents in this church. I hope they're not born here, but there are two pathways, one leading to destruction, the other leading to life. One is readily found, the other, you have to search for it. One is popular, the other is unpopular. One is easy, the other is difficult. But our eternal destiny depends on our choice. May God bless us and help us to choose Him. Let's pray. God, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you, Lord, so much that you don't leave anything to guess. Thank you for this important message today, and help us to understand this clear decision that we all need to make in our lives. Help us to think of two or three people we want to come, we want them, Lord, to get off this broad path to find life. Lord, show us what two or three people you want us to pray for and to build bridges with, and then to share your good news with them. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.